Amen. Let's change that effects on the mic. It's just too much. Praise God. You know, this morning, every time we get together in the house of God, we know the presence of the Lord is with us. Amen. The presence of the Lord is with us, and it is the presence of God that brings change. Amen. It is the presence of God that brings change. It's not the fact that you attend church, but it's the fact that you enter into the presence of God. Amen. Bring my monitors down, John. This is a mess this morning. Amen. It's the presence of God that brings change. It is not the fact that you attend church. It is the fact that you encounter the Holy Spirit. Let's put the lights on, ushers. Come on, guys. Amen. You guys are making me work hard today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone in church. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Last night we had our banquet and we left all our energy Saturday night. If you were here, you saw. And if you weren't, you missed it. But praise God. Let's turn our Bible over to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And what we want to do is, we're in the Christmas season, right? Wow. Wow, you guys, this church really don't like Christmas. I said we're in the Christmas season. You guys are acting like a whole set of Grinch. Okay? Okay? No, we're in the Christmas season. Right, let's do it again. Let's do it again. I said we're in the Christmas season. All right, that's it. Amen. Christmas is one, is what we hear it all the time. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Everybody is supposed to be so happy and so joyous. People who never say hi and hello says hi. Yeah. The people that's up our face at your job, they come in smiling because of free cookies on the job. Yeah, no, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And there's a reason for that. There is a reason. And I want to put a title to these set of messages I will preach over the coming weeks. The reason for the season. The reason for the season. And we know who is the reason for the season. And that is Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. And what I want to show you is the working of the Holy Spirit today prior to what we know as the baptism, or when the Holy Ghost was released in his fullness. Amen. The Spirit of God has always been at work. And somebody say, always. Always. And that's a bold statement. When you can say always and never are two things you try not to say. You know, I'm always good or I will never do that. Yeah. And then somebody say, don't say always and don't say never. Never say never. Yeah, because what? Guess what? You're going to turn back and do the same thing. But I want to tell you today, the Spirit of God has always been at work. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And we can get some heat. I can use some heat up here. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. There was a who? A man in Jerusalem. There were many men in Jerusalem, but we're talking about this man. And the man name was Simeon. Yeah. Let's load the monitors down. I'm getting feedback up here, brothers. Amen. Yeah, much better. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Who was upon him? I thought the Holy Spirit only came when Jesus came. After he went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came. But you know, there is so much truth in the first advent. We only, majority of the time, we will stop and talk about Jesus coming and how he was born in the manger. But there is so much that leads up to him becoming or growing into the Messiah. There is so much that happened In the first 30 years of his life, some we have accounts, some we don't have accounts. We have account up to he was about 12, 13, 14, 15, all the way to 30. We know nothing. We know about him up to this point. But the Bible says that there was a man named Simeon, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the who? So the Holy Spirit was upon him, but also the Holy Spirit was at work in his life. Now you can have the Holy Spirit upon you, but the Holy Spirit don't have no room to work in your life. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit can be upon you or in you, but he has no room to work. How is that possible? Isn't God powerful? No, the Bible said, quench not the Spirit of God. You're telling me I have power to quench the working of the Holy Ghost? Yes, I do. So you can be saved, because the moment you save, the Holy Spirit comes and lives and resides in you. But guess what? You are quenching. You know what quenching is? You're thirsty, you drink some water, and the thirst goes away. So you get saved. The Holy Spirit comes, and you're not giving him anything to work with. You're quenching him. It's like you're throwing the Holy Spirit, wants to move, wants to work, and you quench. And you know what else you can do? You can grieve the Spirit of God. The Bible says here, Simeon was a devout man, meaning he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man, and he was just. Now, the Holy Spirit don't work in dirty vessels. The Holy Spirit does not work in dirty vessels. We have to be devoted to God if we want the Holy Spirit to work through us. If you want to experience the fullness of God, you have to surrender your life over to God. But we all think this Christian thing is a magic thing where you come to church, the pastor put his hands on you, and all of a sudden, miracles, signs, wonders, breakthroughs are going to happen. I want to tell you a secret. It won't happen. You might get a breakthrough today, but you get defeated the next day. So the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not see death before he see the Lord's Christ. Who is the Lord's Christ? The anointed one. There's a specific one. He probably saw a lot of babies in the temple. Because he was always there. He was a devout and a just man. A man that was looking for the redemption, the consolation, for God to redeem Israel. Listen, there has to be a remnant of people that would say, God, we want to see you work in the earth. We want to see you move in the earth. We want to see an awakening. We want to see a revival. But I want to tell you, not everybody's going to have that cry, but there's going to be some people. At this time in Israel, when Jesus was about to born, the Bible said there was no room for him. Forget the physical room. There's an aspect of that we must go much deeper and see what it's saying. There was no room in the hearts of the people, because the Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. He came to his own, but his own received him not. We got to pray that God moves in our country. We've got to pray that God moves in our church. We got to pray that when people walk through these doors, they will feel the consolation of God upon their hearts. We got to pray that when people watch the videos online, the way we worship. Don't just leave all the pressure on pastor. Bring your worship level up, singers. Bring up your skills, musician. Bring up your skills, usher, that when people walk through the door, they feel the something of God. Prayer warriors, bring up your prayer. Pray harder. Pray stronger. And those of you that attend and don't serve in the church, get your walk together. Because there was a man, there was a remnant of people in the time of Christ that was praying, that was saying, God, you promise that one day you're going to pour your spirit upon all flesh. And my sons and my daughters are going to prophesy. And I don't hear nobody prophesying. I don't see no dreams. I'm not able. Nobody's walking around and crying out to return to God. Nobody's crying out, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Listen, somebody got to look forward for the consolation of God upon the earth. And I got news for you. The man in the bar is not going to do it. The man in the club is not going to do it. The woman that's selling her body in the street is not going to do it. The doctor is not going to do it. The nurse is not going to do it. God has left a remnant in the earth, and you better get yourself together, church. Understand what you've been called to. We've not been called to warm seats. We've not been called to look pretty on a Sunday and come to church. That's nice. Look good. But we've been called to see the move of God upon the earth. You know, I'll get there. So the Lord said to him, Simeon, you are not going to die. Imagine God drops a word in your heart and he says, young woman, you will not die until you see a mighty revival. Elderly woman, you're not going to die until you see thousands get saved. If God says it, what then will we do? Let me show you. God wants to do a lot of things in the earth. But our adversary, we have a living adversary. The Bible says the adversary is like a roaming lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. If the devil is out there right now, and I'm talking right now, whilst we're preaching, worshiping God in church, he's devouring people outside. What are we to do about it? Let's go to the Word of God. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 4. If you read 1, 2, and 3, you would see that Daniel went back and he read the book of Jeremiah. They were in captivity. We're free, right? But can I tell you, many of our families are in captivity? I'm on a whole different level right now. Like, I don't need no amens. I don't need nothing. Like, I just need you guys to get this thing. I want you to listen carefully and just receive this truth. Daniel knew that the promise exists. He knew the promise exists. That after 70 years, God will move and bring them back to their homeland. After how much? 70 years. That is a lifetime of most people. Think of this. Your child was born in captivity. But he reads the word. And the word says that there will be deliverance. He never knew what freedom was. When you never know what freedom was, it's hard for you to understand what freedom will be. But you crave for it. Daniel was taken into captivity. Imagine spending all those years and still holding on to a promise. Just like Simeon, the Holy Spirit said to him, you're not gonna die until you see the anointed Christ. Verse 4. I'm reading Amplified. Daniel knew the promise, but watch what Daniel did. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, oh Lord, great and dreadful God who what? Who what? If he says it, I believe it. If he says it, he's going to do it. If he says it, I believe it. If he says he's going to do it, guess what? He's going to do it. But what we got to do, Daniel knew the promise, but yet Daniel prayed. There's laws of operation in the spirit. And if you think you're going to come and we're going to see revival by 1 hour prayer, this is not the only time Daniel prayed, you know. And you know what Daniel was praying? In the face of lions. Daniel was praying in the face of lions. And the lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. So they thought that they could have pulled lions out of the spirit of the devil's realm. The devil is put as a lion that seeks to devour. And they thought that they could have conquered this man by putting lions to drive fear into his heart. But this man is praying. Because he said, God, you're going to keep your mercy, loving kindness. With those, with what? Those who love who? And keep what? Based on this word, God, if you don't keep God's commandment and you don't love God, God don't have a right to do nothing for you. Simeon was just. Simeon was devout. And the promise came to him. Today we're saved by grace. We're in a greater covenant. But can I tell you the principle? The Bible says he never changes. The principles are eternal. They're not just 450, 500, 1,000 decades. They are eternal. So if we're going to see an awakening and we're going to see revival, we got to get out of our flesh. It takes work to see a revival. It takes work. Daniel was a lone ranger. Yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with him. There's always a remnant. That's the beauty of God. He always keeps a set of people that is on the firing line. And you know what that means when you're on the firing line? You can get hit at any time. You can get hit at any time. But we got to understand that God that we serve, he keeps his promise. Daniel said, God, you are the God. I'm coming before you in prayer because I know that you promised deliverance. And guess what? If you said it, God, your word never lies. Your word is yea and amen. And we want to see it happen. Back to Simeon. Simeon was in the temple. And God said, you are not going to die until you see the salvation of the Lord. So he came by the Spirit. So look now. The Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him. And now the Holy Spirit is leading him. The Holy Spirit is now leading. Just picture Simeon. I'm picturing Simeon like this old man with white beard. Imagine if Simeon was clean shaved. And with his little, you know, they wear the clothes they wear in the Middle East, you know, wrapped up with his little turban. And the Spirit says, come on, Simeon, let's go to the temple. The one who I told you about is in the temple. This is the level we got to hit, church. Where God is taking you to places and areas and showing you what he promised you. Where we're getting to live and to see what the Bible said. So he came by the Spirit. Isn't the Spirit our guide? Isn't the Holy Spirit your guide? We got to come up, church. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and bless God and said, Lord, Now you are letting your servant depart in peace. The moment he saw what God promised him, he was satisfied. Amen. Just imagine Simeon every single day. He's like, Lord, when, Lord, when, Lord, when will I see what it is you have promised me? And I know God has promised you some things, but you got to get down. You got to be devoted to God. You got to live a just life. You got to live a righteous life. You got to live a surrendered life, because can I tell you, prophecies, I hear prophecies from the day I was born. Meaning since I got sense. And most of those people never walk in their prophecy. Never. They end up backsliding. The prophecy exists in God's calendar, you know. The prophecy exists. The will of God is still there. But if you choose, the Bible said choose it is there. How it is you can tell me you don't have, you can't choose? Choose, choose, choice, choice. God didn't make no robots, church. And he took him up, this is Jesus, in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Whatever God promised me, I'm going to see it. Whatever God has spoken of my life, you better believe it's coming to pass. Because once you follow the laws, the patterns of God, and you live by the Spirit, you move by the Spirit, you have nothing but to experience the goodness, fullness, promises of God in your life. And there's some of them you're going to have to burn your knees to make them come to pass, because they're that good. And the devil is out to make sure they do not come to pass. How long Daniel prayed, what the angel said, I heard you the first day. I heard you the first day. And I was trying to come to you, but I couldn't make it to you. Because the prince of Persia, this battle, there was fight. And you know what the Bible says? Do not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. No, you're not powerless to the enemy. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Who you got to go through? So you got to live a righteous life. You got to live a holy life in order for you to activate the weapons, because you got to go through God. You gotta go through God. Amen. Because without God, your prayers are worthless. Without God, your prayers are worthless. They're worth nothing. But all of this is mighty through God. Amen. For the pulling down of strongholds. Now, he says, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. When Simeon saw this Christ, the Lord, as a child, he already saw the completion, total redemption. When he looked at that child, Christ, that we're singing, Emmanuel, God with us, he understood the depths of his encounter with the living Christ. He didn't see him as a little kid. Because of what was promised and what was revealed to him. And what was in the word of God, way down in Isaiah, the prophet wrote. Isaiah 53, 54. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of my peace, the payment for my peace. The payment for my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. He saw all of that. When he looked at the babe and he picked him up and he blessed God, he didn't bless the babe, he blessed God that the promise that was given to him had been fulfilled. And the man was ready to go home. My eyes have seen your salvation. The same word that is used for salvation there is used all through the New Testament. And in Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's the same word when he says, my eyes have seen the salvation of God. If he was not devoted, if he was not sensitive, if he was not immersed into the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, listen, church, there's no way I come into church and people are singing and worshiping God and I don't worship God. There's no way I come into church. When it comes to worshiping God, let me tell you something about tiredness. Tiredness got to go. Because you know who I'm encountering? God. I can't emphasize to you how great God is. Every word that I would use to describe him is an understatement of how great and awesome and big and amazing and immaculate and majestic and incredible he is. The chastisement of your peace was laid on our God. So if you want peace today, the Bible says he is the Prince of Peace. So he was seeing in the Spirit. He was moving in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Things were revealed to him by the Spirit. I was speaking to a young lady and I had a dream about her. And the Holy Spirit showed me exactly what she was doing months ago. It's the Spirit of God. And guess what? There are consequences to that behavior. It leaves you broken. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. But there's a gift, amen? There's a gift. But today I just want to pull this church in line. I want to pull you guys to longing more, to be hungry more, to live more devoted, to live more trust, to come aside. The Bible said, come out from among them. Be separate. I'm not talking about only actions. I'm talking about heart. I'm talking about your inner man. Some of you need a renewed mind. Your mindset is nasty. We gotta fix the thing from deep down way in. Verse 31. Which when you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. But he's saying all of this when he picked up Jesus, right? Which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Hallelujah. You understand who Jesus is? What do you need light for? When something is not seen, you need light to see it. When something is in darkness, you need light to see it. This same word here that is used about 48 or 40 times through the New Testament. And can I show you something? When Jesus said, you are the light of the world, it is the same Greek word that is used. So the light that Christ is. The light that Christ is and was in that moment to Simeon is the light that you are expected to be. And Jesus said, you're the light of the world. It's the same word that was used. Simeon says, This is the light that's missing. So can I tell you, within every one of us sitting in here, the Holy Spirit is within us. What we need to do is say, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you, that the light that is within me will shine forth. That the light that is within me will break out. Light is what helps you to study, to gain understanding. If you don't have light, you can't read no books. So light brings knowledge. I'm going to go there again. Light brings knowledge. Light brings understanding. Light unveils things to us. You have a hidden object and you get light and you put it on it, it unveils the object. Light unveils truth. Why do you think many don't want to come into the light? Hence, before their sins be shown. You know why people say, I'm not ready to go to church? Because they are conscious that there are some things they need to figure out. But the deception of the devil is that if you come to church, you're going to look shameful. But what God is saying, you come into the light and the light will help you. When you see the light, you're able to turn from your ways. The light is what leads you to the right place. Because when you come into Christ, you get back into connection with your Father. So the enemy will tell you, don't come in the light. Don't hang around with the lights of the world. But today I want to tell you, hang around with the lights of the world. Hang around. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. To reveal truth. Mighty God. The light of Jesus hits our heart deep into our inner parts in order for us to experience and unveil the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Only when the light of Christ is shining in our heart and hits our understanding, that's when we can understand the truths of the kingdom of God. And the Greek word is P-H-O-S. Write it down. Go look it up. It means divine illumination to reveal and impart life through Christ. Light, 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 light. Light. Without light, we're in trouble. Jesus is the light of the world. And I want to let you know, through this, whatever God has promised you, it's going to come to pass. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit said to Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Anointed One. You're going to experience him with your eyes. Whatever God says, he will do it. Because this man was hungry. This man longed to see God move in the earth. Let's skip over to chapter 1, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judea and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled. She was what? She was what? She was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what she encountered? She encountered what the disciples would eventually encounter at the day of Pentecost. The word that is used there, it is spelled P-L-E-T-H-O. You see, I'm not going to even try to pronounce these Greek words because the way it looks, it sounds totally different. And it means filled to the maximum or full extent. She was filled to the maximum, filled to the limit. When she encountered Mary because of what had happened to Mary. Listen, when the Holy Ghost touch you, the only thing you can do is touch somebody else. The Spirit brings boldness, right? The Spirit brings utterance. The Spirit, Peter could not stand up and preach until he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was able to stand up before a crowd, and 3,000 people got saved the same moment he preached. Listen, the Bible says here, when she went and she greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth became so filled with the Spirit of God, she could not have been filled any more. And look what happened in verse 42. Then she spoke with a loud voice. When you get spirit filled, you become big mouthed. The same shy Julie that you knew, when Julie gets filled with the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden Julie mouth becomes big. She's very quiet and shy, but when she receives power, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon. And look what she did. Then she spoke with a loud voice saying, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. The Holy Ghost, we cannot limit the Holy Spirit. God will move when he wants to move, where he wants to move, as long as there are vessels in the earth. Just like there are vessels in the earth that gives the devil room. You know, the devil don't just come and conjure up stuff in areas and atmospheres. It's people that invites. It's people. Witch doctors, they invoke spirits, they release spirits because they're on the devil's agenda and the devil's calendar. So likewise, we as the church, we have to be busy about our Father's business. Amen? We have to be busy. She begins speaking with a loud voice right away as she became filled. She was able to speak. And she got loud. She didn't just say, oh, Mary, you know, you are blessed among women. No. She became so bold and so empowered because she was filled. She could not have controlled. She could not have contained it. It was so great that she needed to make a shout, a loud sound. When they were going around the walls of Jericho and the wall needed to come down, what they did, they shouted. When they went around the walls of Jericho the first time, six times? No shout. When they went around the seventh time, They made a and the walls came down. We need to get loud against some situations. We need to shout against the devil. Shout at him. When the enemy's trying to message your mind, you shout at him. When he's trying to message your kids, you shout at him. When people are trying to mess with you, you shout. Because that's where you're utilizing what God has placed within you. When the deposit came into Elizabeth, she could have only made a loud declaration. And Elizabeth and her husband, when they had this encounter, they were part of the remnant that wanted to see God move. The Bible says that they were righteous people. Zacharias and Elizabeth, the gift did not just come to them. They were old folks. They were washed up in our books. They could not have had no baby. But they were righteous and devout people. They wanted to see an awakening and a revival. Because what? At this point, people were busy. They were part of the Roman Empire. And they were just busy living Roman lives as well. They fell into the culture. Like, you know, you may have been a part of a great church and then you came to America and you got busy. You start working nonstop. You're trying to make money because the system tells you you have to do it. And you're pressured by the system. You're pressured by the system. And then you now lose faith to decree and declare, God, you're going to provide a job for me that I can be in your house. You're going to provide a job for me that my schedule is fixed. Listen, no, watch me weird. I'm telling you, you got to use your words. You got to declare whatever you speak. The Bible says he's going to back it up. Declare a thing and it shall come to pass. Talk to the situation. Talk to the mountain. Jesus didn't say you're going to fight the mountain, kick the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Begin speaking. The reason why so many of us are trapped in where we are, we don't do no talking. And your spirit filled. And we can randa and shanda and shabaka whole day.
Come on.
Whole day. And nothing will happen for you. if you don't apply the laws and the principles of the Word of God. When she became filled, she became loud. She was able to declare things that she was not even, she didn't even know that Mary was pregnant. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just took her. Because Mary didn't even know Elizabeth was pregnant. She said, the one that is called barren, she is 6 months pregnant. Go check her out. And the moment she showed up, and two Holy Ghost filled baby meet up, boom, boom, both babies leave. There was action there. None of them was supposed to be legally pregnant because Elizabeth was old and Mary was a virgin. Ain't no pregnancy supposed to happen there. One don't got nothing going on, and one working and nothing happening. Mary said, how shall this be? The angel said to her, with man it is impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. But while they were waiting, I didn't know if they were expecting, but they desired it. They desired a child. Where did the angel find Zechariah? Most of us, when nothing is happening for us, we try to make it happen for ourselves. We stop serving in God's house. We stop making the things of God a priority. And we give in and we cave and we say we got to make it happen for ourselves. And look here how the world kicks in. God helps those who help themselves. That's not what the Word of God says. That's not what God's Word says. My God shall supply all your needs. Hold on, take it easy. Why my God was supplying? Because he sent an offering to Paul when Paul was in need. They had needs, but they took care of God's work first. Then Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs. Listen, church, we got to put God first. If God is God, you got to serve him right. First up is God. First up is he was in the temple. He was serving. He was serving in the temple, and the angel met him. The Bible said when it was his time to go and serve, he went and served. When it's your time to do something for God, don't let nothing mess that up. Don't let nothing come in the way of you performing what has to be done for the kingdom of God. Because there's a principle that impossible will take place in your life if you do that. The impossible will take place in your life. You know, there's some people that you say, Lord, how you could bless them, Lord? How you could bless them? Look at her, look at he, look at she. But if you ever notice what they're up to, they're always taking care of God's stuff first. And Zechariah was there serving in the temple. The angel met him. The angel said, listen, Zechariah, you have been counted worthy. The Bible says he was a righteous man. He was a man that was surrendered to God. These were remnant people. Let me tell you, if you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life freely and work miracles, signs, and wonders, we got to be a part of the remnant of what God is going to do in the earth. We got to be a people that's crying out, say, God, we need your spirit to move. We need you to breathe in our nation. We need you to breathe in our young people. We need you to breathe in our men. We need you to breathe in our women. We need you, God, to set our people on fire. That is what we have to do. So the Holy Spirit was active in the first advent of Christ. The Holy Spirit was at work. Because what does God do? God conforms his work to multiple people. That's just the way God operates. He conforms what it is he's doing. When Mary showed up to Elizabeth, boom, because she was carrying the Savior. She was filled. The Bible said the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. He shall overshadow you. If you're overshadowed, that means that you're walking. You're walking in the shadow of God. So wherever you go now, something is going to happen. Something will happen. Because imagine now, it's no longer your shadow that you're casting. You're casting God's shadow wherever you go. I'm going to not go there. We're going to stick right here. Ask God to help you to understand that. That's what we got to do. That's what the Bible says. Let our light so shine. We need to cast off God wherever we go, church. Wherever we go, the light of Christ that's within us will help us to shine. Because he says, we are the light of the world. So the Holy Ghost was at work. We see him touched. Simeon gave him a promise, revealed to him, and what else? Led him to the temple. The same thing God wants to do for us today. He wants to give us dreams, visions, revelation. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's a promise of God. Lay hold on the promises of God. Put your hand. Say, God, I pull that. I want to see that manifest in my life. Just like you touched Simeon. And this was before grace was freely released. And the Holy Spirit was dispersed in the world and released to operate in this realm. The gift of God did not come forth. But yet, because these people were hungry for God. And now we are living in the dispensation of grace, where Jesus already finished the work on the cross. He already rendered principalities and powers powerless against us. So as many as receive him, to them he gives power. Power. Why do we need power? When you have power, you make a difference. You are now able to operate.